Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Look, who are you?
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Yeah, I know. You told me that. What else are you? What are you? You a hypnotist?
No, of course not.
Well, then why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
Oh, what do you mean, no identity? My name's George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy. They're not there either.
What?
Zuzu's petals. You've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like without you.
Wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. Oh, no, this is some sort of a funny dream I'm having. So long, mister. I'm going home.
Home? What home?
Now, shut up. Cut it out. You're crazy. That's what I think. You're screwy. You're driving me crazy, too. I'm seeing things here. I'm going home and see my wife and family. You understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Well?
Mother.
Mother? What do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Mother, listen, please help me. Something terrible's happened to me. I don't know what it is. Something's happened to everybody. Please let me come in and keep me here until I get over it.
Get over what? I don't take in strangers unless they're sent here by somebody I know.
Well, I know everybody you know. What do you... Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When did you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
It's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
I've heard of things like this. You've got me in some kind of a spell or something. Well, I'm going to get out of it. I'll get out of it. I know how, too. Well, the last man I talked to before all this stuff started happening to me was Martini.
You know where he lives?
Well, sure I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
We weren't here to build them. Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Clarence?
Yes, George?
Where's Mary?
Oh, well, I can't...
I don't know how you know these things, but tell me, where is she? If you know where she is, tell me where my wife is.
I'm not supposed to tell.
Please, Clarence, tell me where she lives.
You're not going to like it, George.
Where is she?
She's an old maid. She never married.
Where's Mary? Where is she? Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library!
Well, it's good to have you with us. The video clip we just watched is from the classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I heard some people actually watch this it this week in preparation for it. How many have watched it already this year? A few of you have, all right. How many plan on watching it? And let me ask one, how many have never seen the movie before? There's a few of you. It's a great movie, it's a classic. You've got to get it. It's a lot of fun. And we're glad to have you with us for our series. What's the name of it? It's A Wonderful Life. That's right. And we're here for the next 4 weeks to discover how to have a wonderful life. I want to thank you for joining us today, everyone who's in the house and also those who are online watching us. Thank you for being with us today. And maybe you're here and you're struggling with the meaning and purpose of life. You really couldn't have picked a better Sunday than this one, because that's what we're going to be talking about today in today's message, which is called It's a Wonderful Life, Treasure It. We need to treasure our life. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this story, with the movie, I'm going to just kind of give you a little bit of background so you can kind of fill in the blanks and understand what we're talking about. It takes place in the fictional town of Bedford Falls, and it follows the story of a gentleman named George Bailey, who you saw there, portrayed by Jimmy Stewart. And George Bailey, even from the time he's young, has all these dreams to do different things. But throughout the movie, you will see time and time again, George gives up his dreams to help other people. Ever since he was a little boy, he wanted to do something big, something important. He wanted to travel the world, wanted to build big skyscrapers and buildings and cities and just have all these dreams. Go to college, get an education, and just be wealthy, affluent, and make a mark on society with his name. As it turns out, he never is able to do those things. For example, when his father dies, he's ready to go to school, go to college, but he stays to take care of the family's building and loan that built homes for people. George stays in town, he gives up his dreams, and he's confronted with an antagonist in the movie, Mr. Potter, who is a shrewd, cutthroat businessman. Controls everything in town except one institution, and that's the Bailey Building and Loan that George runs. George stays there. He eventually marries Mary Hatch. They have four children. One of those is named Zuzu. You heard about Zuzu's Petals. Talk about that in just a moment. But later in the movie, George's Uncle Billy loses a deposit of $8,000 of the building and loan's money. Now, that might not seem like a horrible amount of money today, but back then, that would be equivalent to $100,000. That's money is lost. And when Mr. Potter finds out that George has out that money, he swears out a warrant for George's arrest for bank fraud. George is distraught, depressed. He doesn't know what to do. And he comes to the place where he decides to take his own life. He's getting ready to jump into an icy river, standing on a bridge, and all of a sudden, someone else jumps in. It's Clarence, who you saw in the video clip, who happens to be his guardian angel. Now, something about Clarence doesn't have his wings yet, okay? Now, I realize this is bad theology, okay? Angels don't earn their wings, all right? They already have them. At least we think they have them, you know. According to the pictures, they have them. Anyway, Clarence, he's trying to earn his wings by helping George. And part of what he does is he gives George the chance to see what would the world be like if he never existed, if he was never born. And that's what we just saw taking place on the clip. And this morning, as we talk about It's a Wonderful Life, how do we have a wonderful life? So many times people try to experience a wonderful life by pursuing happiness. And they do that by chasing the three A's. The A of accomplishment. What do I do? What do I achieve? Making a mark for myself. The A of accumulation. What can I get? What can I have? What can I earn? How much stuff and possessions can I acquire? And then the letter A of accolades, what do other people think of me if they talk about me and say I'm a great person? Accomplishment, accumulation, and accolades are how we chase happiness. But do you know what the common thread is with all three of those? It's me. It's I. It's what can I do? What can I get? What do people think of me? And Rabbi Harold Kushner said this. He said, you don't become happy by pursuing happiness. You become happy by living a life that means something. We only experience a full life by living a life that means something, not by pursuing happiness and what we can do. So how do we have a life that's worth living, a life that we find meaning, a life that means something? In your notes this morning, a wonderful life comes as we treasure God's design and purposes for our life. If you want a wonderful life, you have to discover the design God made you with. We're all created unique, and God has plans and purposes for you and for me. In your notes, well-being is more about giving yourself than finding yourself. You find yourself so that you can give yourself away. And we're going to talk about this morning by looking at Psalm 139. Go ahead and turn to it if you want. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. It's written by King David. And there are so many times people think of God as being a bystander, kind of far off, just looking from the outside in, not really involved in our life. But as we go through this psalm today, I think you're going to realize nothing could be further from the truth. You're going to realize that God treasures you. And so we need to treasure our lives. God treasures us. Let's take a look. Point number one in your notes, you have God's attention. Have you ever felt like God doesn't know where you're at? He doesn't know what's going on in your life? How many have ever felt that way before? I know I have. But God has your attention. He's paying attention to you. He knows you and he's always with you. That prophecy that we had earlier in the service says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And the thing is, you pay attention to things that are important. How many pay attention to your bank account balance? If you don't, you get in the deep weeds, don't you? Yeah, you pay attention to your gas gauge on the car. If you don't, you're going to be walking in this wonderful, warm Wyoming weather. You pay attention when the smoke alarms go off in your house. You pay attention to things that are important. If something's not important, you don't really pay attention to it. Hopefully, you pay attention to your spouse and your kids. Because if you don't, if you're too busy for your spouse and your kids, you're telling them they're not important. That's just an extra thing I threw in today, all right? What are you paying attention to in your life? God is paying attention to us. Let's pick it up in verse 1 to see how God pays attention to us. David says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Right here it says, God knows us. You're not a stranger to God. He knows you. He's searched you, so he is intimately acquainted with you. He knows you. David goes on to say, you know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So even though God may seem far off, he knows our thoughts, the thoughts we're thinking. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Friends, God knows everything about you and me. He knows everything you do. He knows everywhere you go. And not just the momentous things, but even the most casual act that seems insignificant, he knows everything you do. He knows when you're going to lay down to rest. He knows when you're going to rise up to act. God even knows the words you're going to speak. And last week we talked about speech, abundant speech, those words that you say and I say. He knows them before you say them. That's how intimate God's knowledge is of you and me. He's paying attention of us. It goes on to say in verse 5, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Can I run away from you, God? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Friends, there is nowhere you and I can escape God's presence. There is nothing you and I can do to cause God to leave us. He's always with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. In fact, he wants to guide us if we will allow him. It goes on to say in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness as light to you. All of us at one time or another, we go through dark times. And when we do, we feel like God's not there. But friends, this is a promise from God that even in your darkness, he'll turn your darkness to light. God is with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's paying attention to you. Why? Because you matter. You're valuable to him. You pay attention to things that are important. You are important to God. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're important. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through right now. Don't think that you're lost and you're all alone. Ruth Chow Simmons says, we were made to know fullness of joy by nearness to God as he leads, directs, and satisfies with his presence. Friends, if you want a wonderful life, you need to draw near to God, to God's presence, because God has already drawn near to you. If God seems far away, it's not because he's moved. It's because you and I have moved, or we've never approached him in the first place. So, God treasures us. He pays attention to us. He knows us. That's the first thing I want us to realize, the first key to having a wonderful life. The next thing we need to realize about God treasuring us is that you are marvelously designed by God. You and I, we are marvelously designed by God. We're going to look at verse 13 of Psalm 139. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Do you realize that we are not creatures of chance? We weren't created randomly. We did not evolve from this blob of tissue and become humans. No, we are created by God. Genesis chapter 1 says that we are made in God's image. You are a unique creation of God. It's not just that we're made in his image, but then each of us has a special, spectacular design. It goes on to say, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. Do you realize that this morning? I want you to say, I'm wonderfully made. Say it again. Louder. I am wonderfully made. Again. I am wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. You're marvelously made. You're marvelous. God has designed you so uniquely. He says, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. Friends, when you were being formed in your mother's womb, God was there and he was fashioning you. Every part of you, downloading personality, abilities, skills. There's some things we pick up, but there's some things you have inherent. It goes on to say, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. That term, woven together, it refers to the work of a skilled embroiderer who would weave a tapestry, beautiful, intricate, and every single thread that is chosen was deliberately picked and then set in order. You were designed by God, woven together. You are his exquisite tapestry. Have you ever thought of yourself as being exquisite? You maybe haven't, but you are exquisite. God is the master. That's one of the names for him. What do you call a work of art made by a master? A masterpiece. You are an exquisitely crafted, embroidered masterpiece of God. And the devil lies to us all the time and makes us feel like we're nothing, like we're trash, like we're junk, or that we're insignificant. There's nothing special about us. But you are exquisite. I wish I could help you get a grab of that this morning. Because most of us don't understand how wonderfully made we are. You are exquisite. You can say that not with pride, but with humble confidence that God has exquisitely made you and crafted you. I love what the Amplified Version says. It says, when I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed as if embroidered with many colors. Friends, God has selected every little thread of your life and woven it together for a purpose. But the devil comes and lies to us. And he says, you know what? You're not that special. You can't do anything. Your brother does this better than you. Your sister is better at this than you. And I just want to pause. Parents, never say to your kids, if only you were like your brother. Why can't you be more like your sister? Don't do that. Because God designed each and every child of yours unique and special. I have 4 kids. They are unique. They're all different. I have twin grandsons. And even though they look alike and I can't tell them apart unless they're together, they're different in personality. And if I can see them act, then I can pick them out. Every one of us, even twins or triplets, we are unique creations of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But the devil says there's nothing special about you, and we don't feel that good about ourselves. So many of us deal with insecurity, inadequacy, low self-esteem. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said that, I have learned in whatever state I am in, and he wasn't talking about Wyoming or California or, you know, whatever, but whatever condition I am in, I've learned to be content. And I realize the context of that is financial prosperity and poverty. But there are some of you here today, you feel poor, that when God handed out the brains, the intelligence, you were at the back of the line, and by the time you got through, there wasn't a lot left. Some of you feel when it comes to like athletic ability or maybe to good looks that you missed that day or God overlooked you. You look at other things, and this is what we tend to do. We look at what everyone else has and wish we were like them, and then we're disappointed in what we have. My wife is going back to college. She's going to school for her music degree, and she's in English, and she had to write a paper. She's writing a paper right now. And in class, they exchanged a rough draft with someone else. And one of the students there in the class, they read the paper and then they kind of give input to each other. And this guy, I won't share his name, he says, man, I wish I could write like you. I just love how you write. And Rebecca was thinking in her mind, I wish I could write like you. That's what the devil does. He makes us feel we're not good enough, we're not talented enough, we're not smart enough, we're not beautiful enough. If only I had what someone else had, if only I could do what someone else could do. We need to learn to be content in whatever state we're in. If we're abounding and we feel rich in beauty, brains, athletic ability, different kind of skills, able to make money, whatever it is, or whether we feel poor in those things. Each one of us can do something great. Last week, we gave you on your message notes, my identity, who I am in Christ. How many have been reading that this week, who you are in Christ? Maybe you forgot about it. I've got it up here. This says, I am complete in Christ, exquisitely crafted for his purpose. Friends, that phrase right there is coming from the Psalm 139. You are that exquisite tapestry woven together by God, crafted by him for a purpose. A wanted, beloved, saved, spirit-filled warrior, son or daughter, whom God greatly delights in and rejoices over, always triumphing with power, love, joy, and peace. I fight from victory, not for victory. You are fearfully, marvelously, wonderfully made, designed by God. Treasure your design because God has a purpose for you. There once was a guy, his name was Gooch, and he was a traveling salesman. And his very first report to the home office, he says this, and we've got it up on the screen so you can see how Gooch writes. He sent this telegram. He says, I seen this outfit, which they ain't never bought a dim's worth of nothing from us, and I sold them some goods. I'm now going to Chicago. How many know he could work a little bit on his spelling there, huh? Now, the sales manager, when he sees this, he says, oh my goodness, what have we done? We've hired some, you know, ignorant, uneducated country bumpkin. Boy, we got to get rid of him. But before he can do anything, he gets this message from Chicago, I come here and sold him $500,000. And so now the sales manager is fearful if he does, and then also concerned if he doesn't can this guy. So what he does is he lays it in the lap of the company president. The next day, the ivory-towered sales team is astounded as this message goes out, not just to them, but to the entire company. And the president said this, we've been spending too much time trying to spell instead of trying to sell. Let's watch those sales. I want everyone, should read these reports from Gooch, who is on the road doing a great job for us, and you should go out and do like he done. Friends, every one of us is a 10 at something. You maybe can't spell, but maybe you can sell. We all have different gifts, abilities, and talents. You are wonderfully made. You are treasured by God, and he's given you this special design to be used for his glory and his gain. So many of you have gifts, abilities. Some of you have organizing abilities. Some of you have the ability to work with children. Some of you have a calming, soothing personality. You can just bring peace to any situation. Some of you are motivators. You inspire people. You see the potential and you encourage them to become something that they couldn't see and they don't believe in themselves. Some of you are strategic. You've got insight and discernment and you can see issues and the plans of how to solve those. Some of you are wordsmiths. You know how to deal with sticky situations that are tactful, but they still address the issue and bring the point home to bring resolution and solve problems. Some of you have decorating ability. Tina Wagner has decorated. This is her design for our set and out in the lobby. Yeah, give her a hand. I also want to thank the host of people who stayed after church on Sunday and those who came and were here almost every night this week working on this. Fabulous. I thank you for that. They've got abilities that I don't have. And I just want to brag on Tina. The design. How many see the bells? Okay. And if you look carefully, if you go to the table, look at the little Christmas trees on there, you'll notice bells on there. What's the significance of bells? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, okay? And you'll see that next week in the movie clip we're going to show. And you need to watch the movie if you haven't seen it, all right? But the bells, look on the tables. Tina even put Zuzu's petals on there. There's rose petals on there, Zuzu's petals. Look at the office doors in the hallway. My office is the Bailey Building and Loan. Pastor Zach is Bedford Falls High School. You know, each one of us have a different thing from the story. She thought about this, invested so much time, but that is a gift she has. And here's the thing, all of you are gifted in some area. You're a 10 in some area. I want you to say, I'm a 10. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a 10. You are a treasured design of God. You're marvelously designed, all right? Next thing I want us to look at as we talk about how God treasures us, number three in your notes this morning, is God has plans for you. When an artist creates a work, there is a purpose behind it, a message the artist is trying to convey, an emotion that she is trying to evoke from the people. Whether it's a song, a poem, a sculpting, a painting, there's always a purpose behind the piece. And if we are this designed, exquisitely crafted masterpiece of God, then there is a purpose that the Master has created you and I for. We read about it in verse 16 of Psalm 139. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That word ordained, it means to squeeze into a mold or to be shaped by a potter who has this lump of clay on the potter's wheel, and as it's going around in circles, he puts pressure and lets up on different places, and he's forming this. God has formed days, ordained days for you and I. He's sculpting days for us, things for you and I to accomplish, eternal purposes. That makes me realize every morning I get up, I need to say, God, what are the purposes that you have for me this day that you've sculpted? It says they're written in your book. God, he's authoring a story, things he wants you and I to accomplish. And when someone writes a story, they take us on a journey. They're taking us to a place as they do the story. God wants to take you and I on a journey. He has a story he wants to write for us. There are plans that he has sculpted and formed for you and me to accomplish with our uniquely marvelous design that he's given us. Verse 17, it says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? Word precious means rare, valuable, and prized. Do you realize every one of God's thoughts about you, they're rare? He only has them for you. They're prized. They're valuable. Continuing in verse 17, how vast is the sum of them? How vast were I to count them? They would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Friends, God's thoughts about you are not few, and they're not far between. They are multiple. They outnumber the sands of the sea. How many have ever been to a beach, to the coast? Maybe you haven't traveled far. How many have been to Lake Alcova? You look down at the sand on the beach, just you pick up a handful of sand, hundreds of grains of sand there. You get a pail, there's thousands, maybe millions. Friends, that's God's precious, prized, valuable thoughts about you to accomplish his purposes. You were created on purpose for a purpose. I'm going to say that again. You were created on purpose for a purpose. God treasures you. You need to treasure the design and the purposes God has for you. Use your skills, your gifts, and your abilities for God's glory. Now, just because we have this incredible design and that we have these purposes of God, sometimes people think, well, that means my life should be perfect. It should be smooth sailing. That's not true. In fact, David acknowledges that. Look at the very next verse, verse 19. He says, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak evil of you, or they speak of you, God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. David encountered some nasty, wicked, evil people in his life, but that didn't mean God stopped loving him. That didn't mean God was finished using him. David knew, I've got to stick with God no matter what happens. No matter how far south life goes, I need to stick with God. It may seem like he's left you, but he's never left you. He's never forsaken you. Your life matters to God. You are significant. You are important. You're treasured. You're valued. Your life, it adds up to something, so treasure your life. In the movie, you heard Clarence the Angel say, "Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole." Your life makes an impact. Your life has a ripple effect. In the movie, in that clip, we saw George discovered his brother, Harry Bailey, had died when he was 9 because he fell through the ice. George hadn't been around, and because George wasn't around to save Harry, Harry wasn't around to be a Navy fighter pilot who shot down 15 planes, two of which were going to crash into a transport full of troops. And because Harry wasn't there, those troops died. George's life had a ripple effect. When George was also a kid, not only did he save Harry's life, but he saved a gentleman by the name of Mr. Gower. George worked at Mr. Gower's drugstore. He helped him run errands and worked in the store. Well, Mr. Gower got this telegram that his son Robert died of influenza. And Mr. Gower, he's drunk, he's distraught, and he's just dazed. And he fills a prescription for diphtheria, a child with diphtheria, with poison. And George sees him do that. George never delivers that. And eventually Mr. Gower finds out, and Mr. Gower realizes that George saved him from killing a child. But in this part that we didn't see the full clip of the movie, Mr. Gower spent 20 years in prison for killing the child, and he's now a drunken panhandler, homeless, with no one. He went from being this esteemed businessman who contributed to society to being somebody who seemed like worthless and a killer, a murderer. Friends, your life matters. Your life has significance. You make a difference. There were so many things in the movie that changed as a result of George not being there. We heard about Uncle Billy went insane when the building and loan went under and he was in the asylum. And we saw how George went to see Bailey Park, a place that he built so that families could have a decent place to live and not have to live in Potter's slums. And it didn't exist. It was a cemetery. George's wife, Mary, never married. She was an old maid. And in the movie, I think one of the biggest things of all, it was no longer Bedford Falls. It was now Pottersville. And the town that was happy and joyful was now filled with violence and crime. People were miserable and angry and hateful. One man's life made an incredible difference, and your life makes an incredible difference. You matter to God, and you matter to others. So don't waste your life. Fulfill God's purposes. So many people, they live their lives for their own purpose. What can I get out of life? But friends, the get life does not lead to a wonderful life, because the more you get, the more you want. In the movie, Mr. Potter, he owned the whole town except the Bailey building and loan, and he was a warped, frustrated, miserable old man. You can have everything in the world, but unless you've surrendered your life to Christ to fulfill his purposes, you won't have meaning and purpose in your life. Dan Rockwell, he writes, "The get life, when you're just trying to get everything, impoverishes. The give life enriches." We say here at Radius, our mission is to help all people find and follow Jesus. If you haven't found Jesus Christ, that's the number one purpose you need to do, is to find Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we need to help everyone else find Jesus and follow Jesus to find their design so they can fulfill God's purposes for their life. Each one of us is called to help all people find and follow Jesus. Are you building the kingdom or building your own kingdom? Are you living for God's gain and glory or for your gain and glory? Do you live for your agenda or God's agenda? God has a purpose for us to accomplish. The last thing I want us to look at this morning as we talk about how God treasures us, so we need to treasure our life, is that God treasures a relationship with you. God treasures a relationship with you. If you have a really, really close friend, someone you really trust, you're tight with them, then they know the real you. They know your struggles. They know your anxieties, your fears. They know your frustrations. They even know your secrets because you're close. And friends, that's the kind of relationship we see David having with God. And that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you and I. In verse 23, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He says, "God, I want you to know everything about me." That's the kind of relationship we got. There's no secrets. I'm not hiding anything from you. God, you know me. I'm an open book. We're that close. We're that tight. It goes on to say, "Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me." He says, "I want you to know, God, what I'm anxious about, but I also want you to know my sin." Because you see, David knew that sin separates us from God. And if we're hiding sin in our lives, then that separates us from a relationship with God. And so David says, "I want you to see if there's any wicked way. Show me so I can take care of it and lead me in the way everlasting. God, I want your guidance. I want to follow your plan, your agenda for my life. I want to do your purposes, not my purposes. I want to live for you, not for me. You need to increase. I need to decrease." David desired a relationship with God because he knew God desired a relationship with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us that the payment for sin is death. But the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life, found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, God gave us a gift, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You don't work for a gift. You don't earn a gift. A gift is given because the giver wants to give it, because the giver likes you, the giver wants to bless you. And friends, God loves you. He treasures a relationship with you, but our sin separated us from God. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell, but God loves us, treasures us so much. He gave Jesus to die for our sin. In your notes, it says, "You are so valuable, so treasured, that God exchanged the life of His Son for you." Can you imagine exchanging the life of one of your children for someone else? Do you treasure someone else, value someone else that much, and you'd say, "I'm going to let my kid die so you can live"? That's how much God loves us. You matter to God. You are His treasure. You need to treasure your life. You're valuable. He's paying attention to you. He notices you. He's marvelously designed you. And He's got plans and purposes ordained, written, sculpted for you. And He wants this close, tight relationship where you're best buds. Nothing separates you. You are a treasure. You need to treasure your life. Let's pray. Father God, oh, it blows our mind, Lord, to think about how much You treasure us. You love us so much, and we can't really comprehend that. You love us so much that You gave Jesus in exchange to die for our sin. And I pray right now that You would have Your way in each and every life. I want to speak to everyone in the house and those who are watching online. There's some of you here today. You have not received God's gift of Jesus Christ. You haven't asked God to forgive you of your sin. You don't have a relationship with God. And this morning, you need to get right with God. Maybe you're here. Maybe you've been in church your entire life, but you've just been religious. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. As David said, God, I want you to lead me in the everlasting way. Maybe you've just been walking your own life, playing religion. Or maybe some of you, this is the first time you've been to church in a long time, or first time ever, or your first time watching, someone invited you to watch online, and God's speaking to you, and you know that you need to give your life to Christ. You need God to forgive you, and God to become the leader of your life. If you're here this morning, and you would say, I want a relationship with God. I want God to be my friend. I want to confess my sin and confess that I need Jesus to lead and guide my life. Would you just put your hand up this morning? Anyone here, just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else today? Anyone else this morning? For those of us, you're watching online, if God's speaking to your heart and you know that's you, just go ahead and put your hand up. Let God see you. Even though we don't see you, God sees you. Say, God, I'm responding to you. I want that relationship with you. Anyone else in the house, you'd say, that's me. I know I need to get right with God. I'm not right with God. I need my sin taken care of. I need to surrender my life. Anyone here this morning, just put your hand up again. Put it down. I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like each of you to repeat this prayer after me. God, you know me. You know I've sinned. I know I've sinned. But I know Jesus died to wash me from my sin. Please forgive me for all I've done wrong. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Jesus, lead me. Be in charge of my life. I give myself to you because you gave yourself for me. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen. Those of you who just said that prayer, you've received Christ, I want to welcome you into a relationship with God. He says that He is your Father. You are His beloved child. Can we welcome them into God's family this morning? Amen. If you receive Christ today, there's a couple things I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pick up the card that's right in front of you, and it says, Welcome. Halfway down, there's a box that says, I receive Christ. Just check that off, fill that out, and then turn it into the Welcome Center. Right next to the cookies and the coffee, as you grab that, turn that in. We've got a free gift for you that's going to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, I'd like you to tell a friend. If someone brought you today, tell them, and if you're the friend who brought them, I want you to make sure they get to that table. And then next Sunday at 9 o'clock, we have Growth Track where you can come. It's a four-week class from 9 to about 9:50, and you can find out how to grow in a relationship with God. I want to continue on because while some of us have received the treasure of a relationship with God, God doesn't stop there. You see, there's some of you here today. Maybe you don't feel like you're worth much. You don't feel like you're marvelously designed. You don't feel there's anything special about you. God loves you so much. He has gifted you, but you deal with insecurity, and you need to be content with the design that God created you. Some of you, you need to spend time in God's presence for Him to reveal how fearfully and wonderfully you're made. There's some of you, you're walking through a night season and it feels dark all around you. You might even be like George Bailey, where you're thinking it's not worth living. Everyone would be better off if I'd never been born. I just need to take my life. Friends, I want you to know that's not the answer. There is a God in heaven who loves you, who gave His life for you. You are a treasure. You matter to God. Don't waste your life. There are some of you here this morning, you've been living the get life. It's all about me. Accomplishment accumulation, and accolades, and you've been pursuing happiness that way. You haven't surrendered your life to say, God, you're the Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting. Help me to fill these plans and purposes for you. And you need to pursue His plans and purposes. This morning, if God's speaking to you about how you're treasuring your life, you don't treasure enough, you don't treasure His plans and purposes, and He's saying you need to change some things, I want you just to raise your hand and just say, God, I'm going to start changing some things in my life. Change how I live. Change how I see myself. I want to value. Just put your hand up to God. Say, God, I'm responding to the word, what you're saying to me this morning. Jesus, I pray for every person right now who has their hand raised. Help them to see they are a treasured possession of God, how you love them, how you care for them. Jesus, that you have plans and purposes. Lord, help us to realize the give life, giving ourselves, to find ourselves so we can do your purposes, gives us meaning and a wonderful life. Lord, help us to live our lives for you. We give you glory, praise, and honor. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.